Hey, the way we nerd, we're back again. Last week we premiered our very first Escape Pod, which is all about Star Wars, and episode 2 of that is coming really soon. But today we're going to go with episode 19 of The Way We Nerd.
Damn.
Yeah. Let's say hi, fellas. I'm Danny Villalobos. Across from me,
Josh Moorhead.
Next to him,
Joshua Potter.
And last, but
Kyle
not least,
Bown.
There you go. All right, yeah. So we got some fun stuff to talk about. We got some trailers. We got some James Cameron news. We got some weird thing that AMC is going to be doing, and a little bit of BVS news. Not that much. We're going to bring back the recast, the reboot. Kyle's got a challenge for Mr. Moorhead and my wait. Is it
one of you two?
Wait. Oh wait. I'm sorry. He's gonna do his recast, the reboot, which was the challenge.
Yes, I'm gonna pitch Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption was
which should not be remade.
Yes.
Ever.
Yes. Well, I'll explain the premise of recast, the reboot when we get to later in the pod. But you know what? I think we should just start off with the fact that I got to go to the Civil War world premiere.
Fuck you, Dan. Very much.
Thank you, Claire. Love you.
No, that's so awesome. Claire Brody is awesome.
Yes, she's a fat.
She is.
She's one of my best friends, and I appreciate everything she did for me, getting me on that red carpet. I mean, I was walking. I patted friggin' Falcon on the back as he walked through. And I friggin' walked right next to Stan Lee as he was walking the red carpet. So it was kind of a dream come true. And then the movie was, the movie's okay. I'm just kidding. The movie was fucking kick ass. Of course it was. It's Marvel. I mean, I'm not going to say it's the best Marvel movie, but it's Marvel at its best. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally makes sense.
Okay.
So,
and that's really encouraging. But
yeah. So I won't
Kyle
say
and I want to say the same thing. And also, sorry, my mouth is like a Trump rally because it's filled with crackers.
Wow.
I did not see that coming.
That was, how long you been holding on to that one, buddy?
Just like a minute.
You had to swallow the crackers first.
You quick-witted bastard, you.
But yeah, I think Kyle and I both are wondering what kind of curve you're graving on because you're a
BVS
acolyte. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, yes, I love BVS, and even though I acknowledge its flaws, but I will say the same thing here in the sense that when it's big and good, it's so fucking good.
That's what she said.
Even if there is,
I'm so sorry.
No, you're so not. Don't apologize for something.
She did not say that.
Sorry.
So I'm not going to do this for you guys. I'm not going to spoil it at all for you guys. But as soon as we turn this off, I'm going to spoil the entire movie for Josh.
Go on. It's big. It's what it's big.
No. Yeah. No, I'm just saying. It's just like what I said with BVS. Now, when it didn't work, it was pretty glaring. But when it was working, it was awesome. Nice. This movie, however, when it's not working, it's not that glaring because we're so invested already in these Marvel characters. And we've already discussed this, that the mistake DC has made is we've only been introduced to Superman in this world.
Yeah.
And we haven't been even... I mean, I'm kind of connected to Cavill. Actually, a lot of people are connected to Cavill. Like, they're not... He's kind of giving wooden performances, but it's not his fault. It's like they're kind of making him stoic. They're making him that.
Yeah.
But we like him as Superman. So, but what their mistakes are doing is they try to jam everything into one movie, and whereas Marvel has slowly built the love for these characters, and you do, like, how many movies have we spent with Tony Stark now? 8? 7?
Ton.
Wow, so his 3-9 movie contract is almost up.
It is. Well, it's up. This is it, actually. Actually, no, the two Avengers movies.
Not the side routes too much, but
I think
they had to renegotiate to make sure he was in Civil War, and now the prevailing theory is that part one of Infinity War is the Avengers like B team, and shit gets so bad that the Avengers have to come back together. You won't get Iron Man until part two,
or he dies at the end of part one to make shit serious.
Yes, that's true.
That'd be fun too. Either one of those.
The rumor floating out there right now is that he's going to appear in Spider-Man Homecoming too. But I think that's a separate deal because that's Sony.
It is, but he just mentioned that, you know, there's no deal signed, but he loves Spider-Man. So he's made it pretty clear that if they wanted him, well, they'd have to pay him,
right?
Yeah. They can have him because
just not as much as they might if it was a lesser hero.
And they've already announced that Spidey will be part. I mean, other Marvel characters will be part of Spidey's movie, which is very exciting. I just hope they don't overstuff it because I still want a cool Spider-Man story.
Yeah,
because that's the problem in the past with the Spider-Man movies. They started just putting too many villains in there, but this time they're going to go the reverse and put heroes in there. Or they just say Marvel characters. They didn't necessarily say heroes. They just said Marvel characters are going to be appearing.
Well, if they keep doing it like they did for Winter Soldier, Yeah. Where there's like, you know, it's him and it's Black Widow.
And it makes sense.
Like, there's it's not, there's not like 10 heroes. Yeah. Right. Like Civil War, as long as they're not forcing it.
Yeah.
Or even Ant-Man, where there was, you know, one other hero.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't remember his name.
Paul Rudd. Or Scott Lang is the character's name. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah, no, well, there's him, but then there's that sequence with Falcon.
Falcon was in it, too.
Oh, yeah. Anthony Mackie, Falcon.
You know, but they're not forcing seven other heroes.
No. And that's, that scene made sense in the story framework of
absolutely.
Ant-Man. So what I was saying about Civil War is, like, it's now, I'm going to say this right away. If this is a person you're taking's first Marvel movie, don't do that. Watch the first two Avengers and Captain America 2. Maybe even one, but at least Captain America 2. I think you should watch all three Captain Americas, because this very much is a Captain America movie. People kind of want to call it Avengers 2.5. Yeah, there's a lot of Avengers in it. But when you guys see it, you'll understand this is very much Cap's story. Like, cool. It's very much Cap's story. He is at the center of the action. Tony is as close to the center as you can be, but it's still Cap's movie.
Yeah,
which is cool. I like that.
That's so, but like Claire, for example, she doesn't know Marvel movies as well as I did, so she was lost the first half.
Huh.
Once the second half kicks in, it's just a boatload of fun, which I won't even, like I said, I don't want to spoil anything.
Was she like, why is that purple guy wearing a sweater?
she was very confused about some things, but it was just, there's a lot of buildup in the middle there that if you don't know the Marvel movies or the comic books, you're going to be lost. So, but like I said, the good is so good that it'll distract you from that. So people still enjoy it, but they might not come out enjoying it as much if you don't show them those other four movies I explained. So Captain America 1 and 2 and Avengers 1 and 2.
That's fair.
I'm guessing the best part of the movie is the 5-minute flashback showing how Peter Parker got bit by the spider.
I'm not going to say anything about where they go with the story.
Well, they've confirmed that there's no origin-y nonsense.
Yes, they've confirmed that. I would just say this. You will be happy the way they handle that part.
Great.
Excellent.
Spider-Man does steal the show. I hate to say it, like, not that I didn't enjoy the whole movie in its whole, and Spidey is, like, as they've already announced, he's more in the movie than you think. Like, it's not just a, hey, I'm Spider-Man, and that one scene, and he disappears. There's more to him in the story, but it's a small taste, but it's such a good taste. It's like the best appetizers you could ever have.
And you said Black Panther was great, too.
Oh, yeah. All the newcomers.
I'm very excited for
Ant-Man
Black Panther
as well. Ant-Man is so awesome in this movie. He's so, Paul Rudd is having so much fun. If you like Paul Rudd, you're going to love his part in this. So, like, Black Panther is probably a bigger part of the story. I don't even want to say that. It's just like all the newcomers are great, but Spidey 100% steals the show. Like, I can't wait for his solo movie, because Tom Holland looks to be going to be the best Peter Parker we've seen. And I like Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. They were both really good, but they never fully grasped who Peter Parker was.
Yeah.
Like, Spider-Man's easy. You just got to quip and beat, and you know, but there's a part to Peter that you got to, like, they were good, but I think this kid's going to nail it.
Huh.
He just, you hear him speak and you can see the comic book come alive.
Awesome. Like,
and I'm talking about the live Peter Parker.
That's great.
Not the Spider-Man. The live Peter Parker. Spider-Man, obviously. Anyway, I can't wait till you guys see it. I hate that it's so far. What is it, 3 weeks away for you? Oh,
yeah.
Why did they do the premiere so early? You think Josh had the what was it?
Because they knew they had it's about good buzz.
Yeah, they want to get
good
buzz out there.
They knew they had something great on their hands, so they moved up all their critic screenings.
Yeah.
And
technically, this is around when it was supposed to come out anyway.
April 27th is when it starts coming out overseas, but that's only like a week and a half outside of the States release.
Yeah.
So this is pretty damn early, especially for a big blockbuster, but it's because they've got a good thing on their hands. And I also thought, because the conversation's been set by BVS of like superhero fatigue and the general movie going populist will be like, oh, we just saw the fighting hero, it wasn't that good. So they had to kind of do a reset.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks of people talking like, Dan, like, it's great and it works, and when it doesn't work, it's still pretty good.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's and that's the thing is, and I, like I said before, I think with this one, BVS, total superhero fatigue, and the reason you won't get it so much this is because a lot of those general moviegoers have been seeing these other movies. So they are already invested in those characters.
And because I'm assuming in Civil War, just based on the trailers, the movie has sunlight and not every scene is scored with...
Oh.
Bah, 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 bah.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Sorry, listeners.
That was kind of scary. BVS, I will say this, BVS does have one thing over Civil War. The score is way better. I don't even remember Civil War score.
Yeah.
But you're right. The movie is
totally
much lighter. Much even. I mean, it does get to some dark parts where it should because of what the storyline's about. Because it essentially is the same story as BVS about superheroes being kept in check, or Watchmen. Actually, you know, Watchmen was the first one I think to do that.
Sorry, I just started writing
the comic book, not the
Wonder Woman, Black Widow fanfic in my head.
Wait,
that would be
are you talking naughty fanfic. Anyway, so
don't worry, guys. Josh will be replaced by somebody next week.
Yes, we'll be going on to replace Josh. But so 3 weeks from now, you guys are all going to be very excited because Civil War is fantastic and it just sets the stage for. I think this is the start of phase three.
Yeah.
Right?
First of phase three.
Phase two ended with Ant-Man, so this is phase three, and it's a good start. So we have a lot to look forward to. And just we won't stay on BVS too much because we've already talked a lot about it. I just wanted to mention, you know, today it passed 800 million worldwide, 300 million domestic. So at the very least, yes. Industry standards, it's now in the black. So anything after this is profit. It won't be a lot. But much to my thank God my fears didn't come true, and Josh's prediction came true. JL's Justice League principal photography started. So I'm still going to get to see Batfleck. So
yeah, Batfleck is official.
And then
now.
Batfleck's official. Yes. He's going to be directing Batman. Yeah. Batman's over. Because everybody, even the people that didn't like BVS, it was pretty much unanimous that Affleck was a great Batman and a great Bruce Wayne, even though there's some parts where he probably, you know, maybe overdid it a little bit. But that's, I think, that's the choice of the filmmaker.
I've said this to you guys a few times already, but not on the pod. And I'll just say it again because it's just a really, really interesting piece of box office trivia. And it kind of illustrates... there are problems with BVS and the reception to it. It illustrates those. But BVS made less in its third Friday in theaters than either Batman or Batman Returns did in their third Fridays in theaters. And Batman Returns was considered a disappointment. I'm not talking about adjusted. I'm talking about on its third Friday, like BVS earned $6 million and Batman Returns in 92 when everybody was like, it's bad and we don't like it.
Well, in BVS's defense on that, because I know other movies have... Well, there's that, and movies are so front-loaded.
I was going to say exactly that.
Especially a movie like that. Like, there's... The darker the movie, the less likely you're going to go see it five times.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like if it's a light, happier movie, you're going to go, it's going to have a little longer
Batman
tail,
Returns,
I imagine.
Batman Returns was very dark, especially in comparison with Batman was dark, but Jack Nicholson still brought some levity.
Yeah.
Even Bruce Wayne was a little bit funnier in the first one than he was in the second one. He was very, very, you know, I think Batman Returns is the best of those, of the Burton movies, personally, and up there with Dark Knight is one of the best Batman movies. But that is kind of
it is pretty dark.
Shitty.
I mean, Penguin's like,
I really
let's kill all the
person. Dark Knight.
Yeah,
Dark Knight's really good. I just watched the whole. I watched the whole Nolan trilogy in a weekend, a couple weekends ago, and right after I saw BVS, and yeah, I love the Dark Knight so much. Dark Knight Rises. Every time I see it, my problems with it grow. Like it's the same.
Right.
I have the same problems with the things, but they seem to get bigger each time. I like Dark Knight Rises, but. Doesn't Bane get sillier every time we watch it now? Like, he's not menacing anymore.
The whole plot doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
And it just shows how that movie, on face level, isn't as good as Dark Knight, because there's huge flaws in Dark Knight, too.
Yeah.
But you just don't notice them, because the movie has such a well-running engine.
It does.
And the performances are so compelling.
So compelling.
That you don't think about the fact that, like, when Batman jumps out of a dinner party to save Rachel, he just left the whole dinner party with the Joker and his thugs, and he doesn't even go back upstairs.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't see what happens afterwards, but we assume he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't. But,
Rachel!
Yeah. I know, that's funny, because the Joker, that's the whole point of that scene is him finding Harvey Dent. He doesn't give a shit about fighting Batman at that moment. He's like, all right, he's gone. I'm going to go kill all you fools.
Yeah.
He doesn't, but yeah. Good call on that. And obviously, I'll end on this, but every time I watch Batman Begins, though, I like it more.
Batman Begins was my favorite movie that year.
It's so good.
Even if it wasn't a Batman movie, it's great fucking movie about, like, resilience and fear.
It does. And it establishes... I mean, one of the biggest problems I had with Dark Knight Rises is the fact that Bruce Wayne quits twice. twice.
But
you know, no one sets it up in the beginning with the whole, you know, as a man I can be corrupted, but it's a symbol, you know. So anyway, even though I'm pretty sure that fucking John Blake died within the first week of being Batman, because he did not have even close to the training that Bruce Wayne had. Anyway, all right, let's move on from that. So our next story was, I wanted to bring up was, so Josh pointed this out to me today, I think it was Josh, so Avatar is not just getting two sequels, it's getting four sequels.
I should have ate those crackers, because now I'm going to throw up.
If this plan comes to fruition, we will have five movies set on Pandora.
This is the equivalent of if after Star Wars came out in 77, George Lucas didn't make Empire for 9 years. And then before he even released Empire, he announced Attack of the Clones in 2002.
Yeah. And then Revenge of the Sith,
Yeah, just the whole prequel trilogy.
Except I will rebut my own metaphor because people like Star Wars.
Well, apparently it does.
That's what people. It's even more than that. People care about Star Wars. Nobody cares about Avatar. I think it was an article you posted. I didn't read it, but the headline was, you know, however many years later, no impact on the culture. From Avatar.
Have you ever seen an Avatar lunchbox? And granted, you might not be hanging out at playgrounds like I do.
I think adults carry lunch pails more than
kids. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It has no cultural. You're wearing a Star Wars t-shirt right now, and it's probably by accident. I mean, like
I have a lot of Star Wars t-shirt.
We all have so much fan gear that you don't even like think about it.
Yeah.
I don't.
And this is the thing.
I have two Princess Bride shirts.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
No Avatar shirts.
I support that.
I am a person who loves James Cameron. I mean, Terminator 2, Titanic, The Abyss, Aliens. I love James Cameron.
No more of this.
Avatar should have been the best movie he's ever made, and it was, I think, I don't want to say the worst, because the worst sounds bad, but it's not.
No.
It's my least favorite.
It was pretty.
Look, if your name wasn't James Cameron, if any of us in our jobs that we have had written that script verbatim and given it to one of our bosses or a producer or somebody above us, we would have gotten laughed out of our jobs.
Yeah.
off of this lot.
Yeah. They would have been like, you're staying an assistant forever.
It reads like bad StarCraft fanfic.
I always
love that Raj on Big Bang Theory pointed this out, like, that the way that the Na'vi have sex is with their little antennas. They connect those. And the way you go on
the
horses, you see antennas. So basically, you rape the horse to make them your mount or whatever. So and he has a great line where he has a great line where he says, if I were a bird or a horse, I'd be very nervous around James Cameron.
Sam Worthington saved a planet full of horse fuckers. That's what he did.
I mean, everybody said this movie was way better when it was Ferngully. Like, it was and dancing
with
wolves.
It's Ferngully with machine guns.
Yeah.
And, like, to make matters even worse, the article I read, or the announcement at CinemaCon, where we're getting a lot of our news this week, was not just like, okay, we're making five sequels. It's a shared universe, Avatar universe.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not even sequels. It's just like
not necessarily.
Here's a heist movie,
which I think is their It's their way of like covering their asses because they don't have anything. It's like,
or they just have something so big.
Cameron was like, well, that's what Cameron said. He's like, it's so big that like not the stories aren't necessarily connected, and like,
so what you're saying is it's not focused, Jim.
He's high. He's high in college on like a Tuesday night. Like, that's what it sounds
like. He's making Cloud Atlas.
Yeah.
He's making Cloud Atlas on Pandora.
Everyone will be played by Tom Hanks. It's just, I'm sorry, I can't. It makes me so.
It's just
the people that hate what we love is for this reason.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. It's. I mean, just release a second movie and make it good, and then worry about three, four, and five.
Or if you're James Cameron, you're that good, make something else.
Yeah. I mean, that's what upsets me, is he's going to be, this is basically going to be the rest of his life. Like, he's got to be late 50s?
At least, yeah.
So, by the time he's finished with this trilogy, he'll be almost 70, which he can still do stuff.
I don't know, he clearly has dementia.
Well, I know he's a big fan of the Devil's Dandruff, So
at this point, I'm not convinced that he isn't like sitting on Piranha 3 as well. Like, oh, he's just like, he takes so long to execute the things that he does that.
But sometimes they turn out so good.
There's a small part of me that wonders if this isn't just cover to get money. Like, hey, guys, I'm making four avatars. Remember the one that made $3 billion?
Right.
And then secretly he's got, like, four actually good movies
But he doesn't need money. He has so much from Titanic.
No. I mean budget. Not personal money. Yeah. I mean money to make what he actually wants to make.
Well, because...
Copy that.
And then just release, like...
He'll
make an Avatar 2, which will bomb, as we all know. But since he's announced 3, 4, and 5, well... Oh, actually, he was making these movies. And these are all good.
So just, that's my feel like, and two's gonna and when you say funny thing is when you say two's gonna bomb, it's gonna do kind of like what BVS did, where it's still gonna be somewhat profitable.
If that, cause
but it's not even gonna touch. I still can't understand how it got to 7.8.
I don't know.
It was 3D, and it was
The first movie that I saw that did it really well.
It was like the first.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah,
with that.
It was like the first McDonald's movie. In the sense that I mean, like, we've all had McDonald's, but none of us are going out of our way to eat McDonald's. Like, when it came out, it was like, for some reason, everyone saw it and had to see it, but nobody left, like...
Right, 3 billion served.
Yeah, 3 billion served, but no one particularly enthralled with what they ate.
And once again, Josh brought the analogy.
It was palatable.
Yeah, analogies by Moorhead. I love them all. I love them all. So keep them coming, Josh. But it's
unlike Avatar movies.
Yes.
I would rather
Jim go back and make a Terminator 17 or whatever we're at now.
I mean, that really is the saddest thing is that on some level, this dude is an artist.
He's awesome.
And
he's brilliant.
But that's I would be infinitely more excited if the news that came out today was him saying we're actually going to do True Lies 2. True Lies is a movie that doesn't
need a sequel. How did I forget to mention that?
It would be so unnecessary, but it's still a more engaging endeavor than.
Plus, it would give Tom Arnold a job.
Yeah,
Tom Arnold needs a job.
The one thing I will say in his defense, just for the briefest of moments, is that it seems like he created this universe. And now has so completely fallen in love with it.
Right.
That he's just... I mean, who knows if he actually has 5 scripts or 5 movies.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like if you... It's like if us playing in Star Wars. Like, I could come up with fucking 10 Star Wars movies in the next 20 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and if you told me I could spend the rest of my life making 10 Star Wars movies...
Okay.
I'd be like, all right, fuck it, let's do it.
That's a good point.
You know, so do I want to see any of his Avatar movies? Probably not. But I can understand, you know, somebody being like, look, this universe is just so fucking awesome because I'm brilliant.
They've got to be bluffing because it shows something about how little they have that out of CinemaCon where, like, Disney showed a half hour of Finding Dory today. Mm-hmm. Like
30 minutes, damn.
Yeah, Fox, when they announced all this, they didn't even publish, like, a piece of, like, art or show, like, somebody on set, like, in the blue mocap suit. They announced a new official like emblem for the Avatar series. I'm like,
shot anything for Avatar 2?
No. Like, that's what I'm saying.
They've been working on it. He's been working on it for 5 to 9 years now. Like,
when did Avatar come out?
2009 or 2010.
Okay.
Really? Was it that recent?
2009.
I think it was 2009.
Okay.
So he's been working on it for 7 years. Allegedly.
And that's a long 7 years because 2009, the Marvel Cinematic Universe was a movie old.
Right.
Star Wars had not been rebooted.
Yeah.
He's coming into a different climate.
Maybe he's been just stuck underwater in his little ship too long trying to find the Titanic.
Maybe.
He's got oxygen deprivation.
I'd take a sequel to Titanic. They missed the iceberg.
I honestly would. I would watch Titanic 2.
It's just that 2.5 hour gap of time between the boat sinking and her realizing Jack's dead.
Right.
It's just that. They're just talking and then she monologues for the last hour as he's dead.
All right, let's move on. Because James Cameron's obviously not going to. So, another like kind of thing that's kind of been upsetting. Two things that have been controversial in the movie community. So, I don't know if we talked about this. Have you guys heard of Sean Parker? Sean Parker is the Napster guy.
Yeah. Yep.
He has an idea called
Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake in the social media or the social network.
Yep.
The Facebook movie. Something called Screening Room, where you pay, I think it's $200 for the box.
$150 for the box.
That's it?
$150 for the box.
What's in the box?
$150 for the box, and you can buy new release movies at when they come out
day and
for
date.
$50
And you get them for 48
hours. And you get them for 48 hours.
Mm-hmm. So you can only watch it once in that 48-hour window.
Oh, really?
I hadn't read that yet. Huh.
That
makes sense.
It makes sense because what you do is you tell your friends, I have Civil War. When do you want to come over and watch it? And you have a 48-hour window to get all your friends together.
Yeah.
So, and the other, let's stick with this one. What do you guys think of this idea? Are you in for this? Are you against it?
I am more in for this if the next item comes true.
Okay, I know we'll get to the next one. I want to hear what you guys room outside of the next thing.
Same here. And I think my take on it, because I keep reading all of these theaters that are just totally bashing it and like, no, we're not for this. And
of course, they're not for it.
Yeah, and I understand that. That means, you know, potential dip in ticket sales, but we've seen that anyway. The past, 5 years?
Well, and
I
mean, it's not even ticket sales. It's concession sales.
It is, concession sales. Yeah.
Movie theaters are in the business of selling popcorn and soda.
Yeah, that's where they make the
movies,
money.
Little movies are going to suffer, but big movies will be just fine. Plus, I think, and the thing about it is this is going to suck, because MoviePass actually, what was it? I read somewhere.
It boosted. If you have MoviePass, it boosts your attendance by almost 400%.
Yeah. And that's huge for them, like, they make their money, like you said, off the concessions. You're buying tickets to the movie. But that Movie Pass is amazing, by the way. I'm going to give a freaking plug for that, because Movie Pass is awesome. Josh Moorhead and I have it, and we use it consistently, and it's so worth it. What do you think of Screening Room, Josh?
Well, I hate to use another analogy.
Analogies.
T-shirts.
Yeah.
This came to mind. Like, because for me, movie going is a religious experience almost.
Me too. That's
the church.
That's my
and
that's
something
one of my
like
answers,
Christians
yes.
will tell you. I'm sure people of other faiths is like, sure, you can practice this faith without coming to church or synagogue, but there's something about coming to church or synagogue that completes it in a way that you won't get sitting at home, no matter how much you're praying or reading.
Plus,
or whatever.
With other people,
so it's a social, that's what it's like. So to me, the theater will always be church, and I don't want church to go away.
Yeah.
But I think we all sit at home and watch Netflix and our Blu-rays, so there's an advantage to it.
And the thing is, look how quickly things come out on Blu-ray now. We discussed this last week on the Star Wars pod, how the Blu-ray was out 4 months after the fucking movie came out.
They announced the BVS Blu-ray and all the details about it within 48 hours of its release. So,
and by the way, if they want BVS to get to that billion mark, they have to release that R-rated cut in the theaters. That's the only chance they got, which they probably won't.
And actually, I think the hope of Screening Room is that it'll help smaller movies.
Yeah.
Because if you're an indie movie, you don't have to pay for distribution and everything. It's like, well, they'll watch it on the box.
So it would be kind of the opposite of what I just said. Actually, it would help in that sense. I didn't even think about that. Good call.
Yeah.
So I have a couple thoughts on this. One is there's something about the experience of going to a movie theater, but not the, like, not even the big shared experience or watching it on the big screen, but the you are there
focus.
In the room sitting watching the movie. You're not on your phone. You can't get up and go to the computer. You can't pause the movie and do something else for a minute.
Yeah.
You are there. You are doing that. The people around you are there and doing that.
Oh, speaking
of
that.
If I'm at my house, somebody's going to pull out their phone and do something, or somebody's like, pause it for a second. I have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
I was going to say, are you going to be able to do that? Because you said you can only watch it once in the 48 hours.
I believe it'll have, I don't know for sure, but it would not make a lick of sense if you couldn't, like, pause it.
That should be one of the features.
Yeah.
Right, sorry, continue.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. Now, on the other side of that, I have a friend who used to live next door to me, but he has since moved to Austin, which is sad and depressing.
Oh.
But he had in his apartment a 10-foot screen and a high-end projector and an amazing sound system, and he could cram about 20 people in there, and he was very strict about his rules. And most of the time we'd use that for television.
Wait, are we sad the friend left or the projector left?
Yes.
Great answer.
So in situations like that, like, I could see a movie, I could see doing that for something like Midnight Special. That's the perfect movie for something like that. You don't need the giant screen, but you want a group of people, you want that experience still, and you can get that in that kind of a situation, especially if you have somebody who's a little more strict about, you know, allowing how movies are watched around them. But there's a lot of, like, Room would be, even though it's not this big, giant movie, it's the kind of movie that I feel like if you were watching it in your house, it's going to be a little harder to keep your attention right there because there's not constantly stuff happening.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of slower moments, low energy moments. And if you're in a theater, you're there watching and you're in it. If you're at home watching it on a 40-inch, 50-inch television, it's just not the same. You know, you're not as enthralled, as absorbed into it as you would be.
Totally.
I agree with that. I think, and too, like, for all four of us, I know we won't stop going to theaters ever. Like, I definitely won't. But I could definitely see where this would be a big thing.
I mean, we go to theaters to watch. We go to theaters to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, which we've seen 4 million times.
Yeah. But it's that religious, like Josh said, it's that religious experience, you know. And for us, that's what we want. And that's why I don't think theaters are necessarily going to take a hit from this. I think for us, like, we might go see something in theaters once first, and then we might want to go see it again a second or third time. Star Wars excluded, because that will always be a theater experience. Yes. Yeah. But then, you know, you go to something like Screening Room and you get to watch it again if you want. You know, so
plus it's expensive. It's not Netflix.
Like, yeah, it's 50
Netflix
bucks.
Netflix is $7 a month. Like, who? And I guess the fear is, and like theater owners are like, well, that's not fair because you could rent it for $50 and then have 50 people over there. Charge all your friends, give me $1.
Yeah.
But that's I think everybody at this table owes each other for like movie tickets already.
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna get your buddies to pony up. Like, well, I rent it for $50, so you just gotta give me $7.50 when you come over. Yeah. Like, it's just
that's silly.
And not every movie is going to agree to be a part of the system. So it's
And you're not gonna get 10 people to come over to watch Room.
Exactly.
You know, maybe Midnight Special. Like, that's the kind of movie that sort of falls into that sweet spot, you know, like Dan's cell phone.
Sorry, my boss.
Which leads right
which is
into,
a great segue.
Yeah. Perfect segue.
It's a perfect segue, because what I was going to say...
is he back up here? He should join.
Well, what I was going to say is that I when I go to the movie theaters, it is a religious experience. When those lights go down and my phone is off, I just want to watch this fucking movie. And when you take me out of that experience with your cell phone, which brings us right into what we're talking about next, AMC has said that they're going to allow, in certain screenings, people to use their cell phone. This is for the millennials, because they can't seem to get off their damn phones. By the way, three of us are on our phones.
Yeah, this is research for the pod, though.
But,
so.
Yes, yeah, that's it. This is, and I'm answering my boss. The thing about it is that it's only going to be certain showings, so I guess I'm okay with that. But where does it stop? I mean, I guess there's that policy, that the baby policy, right? There's screenings for parents with babies, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if it's something like that, I guess
I'm fine with it. As long
if it's a weekday at like 11 a.m., sure, go for it.
Yeah.
My thing is, like, and I think you guys would all share this opinion, is that we were all raised on theater etiquette too. And before I started going to movies, I was in live theater, because that's what both of my parents do. And so I grew up, you know, with this mentality that, oh, if you're in the theater and you're watching a show, or if you go to a movie theater and you're watching a movie, you're respectful. Even if you're staring at a screen, a movie theater, you're sharing that experience with an audience.
Yeah.
So you need to be respectful. It's proper etiquette. And if we're teaching, if we're making concessions that you know we shouldn't be making, then it's just reinforcing the idea that, oh, well, you know, whatever, anything goes. There's not proper etiquette anymore. And I take issue with that, because then it starts creeping into other areas. It creeps into theater potentially. It's just so.
I just don't understand, why can't you turn your phone off for 2 hours?
Yeah.
Like, there's situations. You have young children at home. You need to be in contact with the babysitter. That's fine, but that's why you step in the lobby and make those conversations. That's fine. But why do you need to constantly? If you're bored, why are you at the movies?
Yeah. Or
walk out if you're bored.
You're at the movies so you can check in there.
Yes.
Like, it's true. Like, I'm a victim of this. Somebody asked me how WonderCon was like last weekend or something. I was like, well, it was a better social media thing than it was a thing that I actually experienced. And that's just the world we live in now.
Yeah, it was better having been there than being there.
But yes. That's an excellent way of saying it.
Thank you.
I don't know. My mom always likes to say, if you're so important that you need to be on your phone, then maybe you don't need to be at this movie. That's
well,
how
I
feel.
I'm not, like, a little bit of a devil's advocate. Like, I've been in movies with you guys where one of us, or I, have checked my phone But that's just because...
Yeah, and I gave it a nasty lick when you did it, too.
Yeah, but I mean, well, it's just because, like, if the movie's not that great or whatever. But that's different, like, checking to see what time it is different than, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, what? No, I'll meet you at Applebee's. It'll probably be 45 minutes, but...
When I went to go see... Was it Midnight Special? I think I saw Midnight Special by myself. I think it was Midnight Special. This lady was on the phone literally through almost the entire set of previews. Like, from the beginning of the movie. She was on the phone before the movie started, which is fine. Cooling. Goes dark. The trailers come on. She's still talking as loud as she can.
Oh,
and I'm like, I'm about to lean over and say something. And before I do, a gentleman gets out of the front seat. He's on crutches, this gentleman. He gets up and, like, hobbles over without a crutch to tell her to turn her phone off.
Yes.
It was one of the best things I've ever seen. I was like, yes!
I mean, this is a whole different, like, sociological thing, but we can't unplug. And that's why theaters are sacred, because that's one reason I like it, because it's a brain turn off, it's a turn off from everything. Whereas when I'm at home, even if I'm watching something I'm really hyped to watch, like, I feel like if the phone's in my room charging and I'm just watching TV, I'm like, what am I doing right now? I'm not doing anything. It's like, well, no, you're watching this episode of this thing. I'm like, no, that doesn't count. I need to be, like, on Instagram while I'm watching Better Call Saul. Why?
Yeah, you shouldn't be doing anything while watching Better
Call Saul. I know, but I'm just saying the theater
You can check your email while you're watching Flash. That's fine, but not Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Never Better Call Saul.
I will say, out here, I have noticed is better than back home in Missouri. I love this. Like, movies get audience reactions out here, and part of that is because it's a big city, but we've seen Ant-Man together, we've seen Star Wars, we've seen BVS, and people cheer, people clap, people react, and then people shut up, for the most part. Like, I mean, all three of those movies, I remember distinctly from being at Grauman's, and I don't remember anyone being on their phones during the movie.
No.
I'm sure there were, you know, here and there, but they didn't bother me. Back home, I went and saw Star Wars again with my parents during Christmas, and there were at least two people that had their phones out during Star Wars, and
gross.
I wanted to go and choke them, like, force choke them, because seriously, you know, can you guys not just turn them off for 1 second?
All right, so we all are somewhat okay with Screening Room, certain senses, and we're not okay at all with the texting in theaters. So let's move on to the time that people still text during movies, and I'll forgive them for a little while, but they should stop when this happens. Trailers. There's some good trailers that were released last week. I'm just going to mention a few little ones just to see if you guys are interested in these movies, and if you haven't watched the trailers, you're going to watch them, and then we'll get to the big ones. One of them was a Swiss Army Man. If you guys haven't seen this, it's basically a dark comedy that's similar to Weekend at Bernie's, where Daniel Radcliffe plays a corpse that Paul Dano carries around a deserted island, and the thing keeps farting and sometimes talking. So if you've seen this previous, obviously, Potter, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're nodding your head.
This movie
looks fantastic.
It does.
Josh and Kyle, have you guys
seen really like Paul Dano most of the time.
Maybe it's not your thing, but
I haven't seen
Radcliffe,
the trailer,
though.
But I love Radcliffe.
Okay, watch the trailer.
I didn't watch the trailer, but it had a very divided reaction at the festivals it was at.
It
sounds like up its own arse indie trash.
Oh, it definitely looks. It definitely looks indie. Like, it definitely art house for sure. But it just.
I mean, it could be great. It just
the trailer was really
it's
good.
It's pretentious fart jokes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Watch the trailer. Another small one that I was. Not really small, but it's coming to HBO, but this excited me because of who's directing and who's starring in it. It's called All the Way, and it's about Lyndon B. Johnson, played by Bryan Cranston, and it's directed by Jay Roach.
Yeah, it looks really
okay.
All in too. I just wanted to mention that. And you folks, if you haven't seen the trailer, go out and watch it. It's fantastic, and I'm sure you're going to watch the movie. And the other two small ones. There's one called Neon Demon, but I can never say this gentleman's name right. But the guy who directed Drive. Does anybody know how to say his name right?
Nicholas Winding Refn.
I like that one.
I don't know.
I like that
sure.
one. Sure. I loved Drive. Wasn't as thrilled with what was the second one called? Beyond the Pines.
Place Beyond the Pines.
Yeah.
Is more pretentious trash.
I think all of us kind of are an agreement on that one?
I didn't see it.
Did you see Drive, though?
Oh, loved Drive.
Drive was fantastic.
Drive was great.
So
Drive was the right amount of pretentious.
Mm-hmm. It's like okay, you give me... It's like with the gentleman who did District 9. I love District 9. I hated Elysium, but I was like, all right, I had enough love for District 9 that I'll see Chappie. Now, I'm kind of giving that same thing here with and what's the fuck his name? Nicholas whatever. I'm going to give him a shot because I did love Drive, did not like Place Beyond the Pines. But this one, Neon Dream, is starring a very grown-up Elle Fanning, and looks pretty damn good.
Yeah, I saw the trailer today, and I'm in. It was really interesting.
Very, very interesting. But it could also be pretentious, just like Place Beyond the Pines. But it might be good pretentious this time around. We'll see what happens.
It'll at least be visually stunning, I think.
Yeah. So the big trailers. We'll start with one that none of us are really that excited about. I should be because it's Steven Spielberg, but Big Friendly Giant.
Oh, that's what BFG stands for.
Big
that's
fucking guy. Sure
yeah,
big fucking guy.
Look at that big fucking guy.
I figured I put BFG because if you read the novel, if you read the novel as a kid. If you saw that, you would know what it is. I don't remember if I read the novel. The Willy Wonka
fucking
doll, right?
Yeah.
So Spielberg is doing this, and he's starring Mark Rylance, his new go-to guy, apparently, because he's in Ready Player One. Just got announced.
Yeah.
He's gonna be in Ready Player One.
Is he playing the big fucking guy?
Actually, he is. He's playing the guy that created the like.
He's the giant.
He's the Willy Wonka of Ready Player One.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that.
And he's in some kidnapping movie that Spielberg's gonna do.
Taken 4.
Morehead, what did you think of that trailer though?
Yeah, did it just
look like kitty fluff and not even worth seeing if you're not really into
it? I'm gonna see it, but only because of virtue of
who it is.
Spielberg.
Yeah.
And it was actually written by I'm forgetting her name. I think it's Matheson, but
she... Oh, Melissa Matheson, yes.
Yeah, she wrote E.T.
That was her last movie, I think,
before she passed away.
Oh, I didn't want to see her. I love her.
And
she's fantastic.
The only, like, outside thing about it that, like, really intrigues me is that for the first time in 15 or 20 years, it feels like Spielberg actually reaching for magic again.
Mm. Yeah, that's why I want to see it. That's what
I'm
I
not particularly intrigued by, like, the concept or... I mean, it looks like more.
I mean, it's basically
it's
E.T. an E.T. with a CG giant, basically. But
I think what we were saying last week was we had somebody criticizing us for liking J.J. Abrams because J.J. Abrams is Diet Spielberg. I'm like, well, Spielberg is Diet Spielberg. Like BFG.
Yeah.
If you showed that trailer to somebody in '90, they would have been like, "Oh, is that like a?" Spielberg sketch.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just Spielberg in 20 years.
there seems to be a division on Spielberg where, like, anything before 93, most people dig. And then everything after Schindler's List, not including Schindler's List belongs in that other category. Anything after Schindler's List has been just like, eh.
I thought War of the Worlds is really good.
I did.
Really
I like,
good, but
I like
it's not
most of it. But
timeless.
But he's my...
Not
might
that
have
it
lost.
Shouldn't be, but it doesn't have this... Doesn't stick.
I'm hoping Indy 5 brings back his magic if BFG doesn't. Or Ready Player One, even. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's trying again.
Yeah.
I think he's like Kobe last night. He's like, he's only got so many games left, and I think he's trying to go
so
big
one
in those games. Yeah. He's got one.
Now, we'll go with the... Who's better now? Yeah. Who else is still out there trying to... Okay, it doesn't matter. Spielberg, get the magic back, because we all love you. The next trailer I want to talk about is the... two of them. Let's talk about the two movies that we've already seen trailers for, but the second trailers were pretty damn good. Ninja Turtles 2. And Suicide Squad. Both got new trailers. Suicide Squad didn't really show us much new, except it showed that the movie already is fun. So, because I want to bring this up because David Ayer came out and said this whole thing about us going back to reshoot to make the movie more fun and less dark is nonsense. Because the first trailer had a lot of fun in it, and this trailer looked like that. BVS's trailers, none of them had fun in it.
Yeah, I think he's covering his ass a little bit.
You think?
Yeah, because the studio's... When their press releases, like, it didn't say verbatim, but when they went to press and they told journalists, like, we're going back, we're doing these reshoots to add more fun because of the reaction there was to BVS. And then I'm sure feeling like the the chagrin director or writer that he was like, no, it was already fine. Like, I wanted more action, and that's what they gave
me
$10 million.
You don't think this falls in the category of what Kyle was talking about a few weeks ago, where he said there's money always set aside for reshoots? You don't think this, like, the Star Trek one was obviously a nervous reaction to something, test screenings.
Marvel does that, and like J.J. Abrams does that on his movies, and Star Wars is doing that where they have built in. This wasn't built in. This was finding $10 million.
How do we know this? You know for certain. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's in the release. Like, it's how it's presented. Like, because you know, there's no stories before Suicide Squad started. Like, and we built in this time for reshoots after we shoot. Like, you know.
Yeah.
There's usually not a big press release on reshoots.
Yeah, they just kind of happen.
No, but
like,
I mean,
I don't think Force Awakens. Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. Is like Force Awakens. I don't remember there being a big like press push. Like, hey guys, we're going in to do reshoots.
Right.
You know, it was just like, oh, they're doing reshoots. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Star Trek and with Suicide Squad, it's like, hey guys, we're doing reshoots. It's gonna be okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay.
With Star Wars, nobody got defensive about Star Wars doing reshoots. Okay. You know, it was just like, we're doing some reshoots. All right.
Okay. Cool.
Deal
with it. And the other one was Ninja Turtles 2, which I liked the first one a lot, but this one looked way better.
Oh, yeah. And Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah.
Krang.
It feels like Turtles.
Voiced by Fred Armisen.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I love Fred Armisen. That dude is
so
a man
hipster
of a thousand.
Krang.
So, well, hey, I didn't even realize that was friggin' Shaloub as Splinter for, like, was it Shaloub? No, it wasn't Shaloub. What was it?
I have no idea.
Shaloub?
It's weird.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't realize it was him, like, I don't think until the end of the movie when I saw the credits.
Just a very OCD Splinter.
So,
living in the sewer.
Solving crimes.
I'm really excited for the Ninja Turtle movies. I love the turtle van. I love the fact that it throws pizza discs or whatever
they're doing.
It's manhole covers.
Yeah. There it is.
They're doing literally everything that I wanted the Turtle movies to be when I was 8.
Yeah.
So I think it's the Turtle movies that came out when
I was
8.
Yeah.
Me too. I love them. I still do.
That's the same thing.
I mean, we know what's on my desk. It's a bunch of Turtle shit.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is,
like,
yeah, go ahead, sorry. I'm interrupting.
I don't know. Whenever I see these trailers, I still, like, I was literally thinking earlier today, just because you said the words Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle trailer, I was like, I should watch Secret of the Ooze when I go home tonight. So, like, I still love them. But
You actually been wanting to watch that for a couple of weeks, so you should definitely watch it.
Yeah.
Come on, kids. Like, really, those first Ninja Turtles movies, they're so much fun, but are they that much better made movies than the ones we're seeing now?
No.
Filmmaking wise, like, it's
no.
It's it. They're both voice acted very well. The action is fun, and you know the bad guys are silly but scary at
times. If
you're
going to point out the big difference between the two, it's that the older ones, as most movies had to be at that time,
correct?
They're a little more they're practical. They're a little more grounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know the turtles were not. They were animatronics in suits, not.
Yeah.
Digital. Same with Toka and Rezar, because for some reason they didn't want to do Bebop and Rock.
Yeah, toys.
I never got that, but whatever.
Snapping Turtle.
Super Shredder.
Yeah, I think
Ninja.
I think even 5-year-old me knew somehow deep down that, like, there was no way I was going to see a Technodrome on screen, but now I am.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
I can't wait for.
I do have a quick Suicide Squad question, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Does it take place in the larger DC movieverse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Batman's in this new trailer.
Seen the new trailer.
Batflexing. It's him.
Oh, yeah.
It's him.
The first Suicide trailer is one of the great trailers in like recent.
Yeah.
Years.
Yes.
Yes.
So this trailer couldn't have lived up to that, but throwing around Batfleck is a pretty good.
Now it's confirmed that it is Batman in the movie, and I have a feeling hand
in my geek card now.
Yeah. I have a feeling some of the reshoots might even involve him.
Maybe.
Yeah. actually, there's a shot in it that I wanted to hear you talk about, because you had complained about the over-sexualization of Harley Quinn.
Oh, my God.
And there's a shot where she's, like, putting her clothes on, and, like, all the soldiers and everything all around her are like, Like, she's just like, what? loved it.
Yeah. No, but here's the thing. It was men and women both stopped and were staring at her. So
Harley Quinn has been sexualized since a cartoon version.
Right.
Oh, yeah. She's animated series.
That's
yeah.
just her.
Hey, Puddin'.
I can see when you sexualize a character that shouldn't be. You know, like, there are characters, like, you should, like, okay, look who they've cast in the new Spider-Man movie, Aunt May. You guys know who the new Spider-Man
Sorry.
That stripper from The Wrestler.
Yep. Marissa Tomei.
Thank you, yes.
Marissa Tomei. Now, yes, she's old enough to be Peter Parker's
Sally Field was a great Aunt May.
She was a great Aunt May.
She was.
But can you
just throw it out there.
You think she's sexualized? You think she's sexy, though?
No.
Marissa Tomei is very sexy, and I don't think they're going to downplay her sexiness.
I mean, I think Sally Field
maybe
is a very intelligent woman, and I find intelligence sexy.
I'm not saying, you know what, I phrased that wrong.
She wore that nun outfit. Yeah.
I phrased that wrong. What I meant is they didn't sexualize Aunt May with her. Not that, did you think she was sexy? That's what I meant. That's what I should have said. That came out wrong. But anyway, I don't think they should do that to Aunt May, but at the same time, I am fine seeing Marissa Tomei as much as I can. So, double-edged sword.
I'm just going to watch My Cousin Vinny. That's all the most so may I ever need.
My biological clock is ticking like this.
I will say, after the new Suicide Squad trailer, I am much, much more, again, on board with Jared Leto's Joker.
I can't wait to see
of the laugh and everything.
His laugh is so creepy.
It's so good.
It's the creepiest laugh of any of the Jokers so far.
He's a madman, because I said this.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
He sent Will Smith anal beads and used condoms when they were shooting.
Did he use them?
I'm assuming yes. Because those would have value on eBay.
Jared Leto wanted to make all his things method about anal.
Super method. He got into the head of the character and
decided
to keep going on and
like
off
set. When Heath Ledger turned off the Joker, he went and skateboarded and he was Heath Ledger again. You know, he was like, they had shots of him like just, you know, skating around as a Joker, just being Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
But Jared Leto, he wanted to make his cast members uneasy. He wanted to make the Joker real.
Which is
the big one.
Yeah, well, there's two big ones, actually. That's the problem. We haven't even moved to two big ones.
It's a twofer.
We'll go with the first one, Fantastic Beasts, the new Harry Potter.
This is the big one.
So you call this one bigger than the second one? Okay.
I do. I absolutely do.
That's why I said I put these two together. Like, I'm not saying
that's just me personally.
I've got it for both of them.
The other one is Doctor Strange. But we'll start with Fantastic Beasts.
I cannot be more excited for this movie. This has the potential, without, I don't think, too much trouble, to probably be the best Harry Potter movie.
Ooh.
Because
it's American?
Because of many reasons. No, many reasons, but one reason and one reason only, that's the only one you need. It's not basing it off anything. It's not based on a book. It's not trying to cram too much stuff into 2.5 hours. It's just its own story.
Yeah.
You know, it's a story of Newt Scamander. Yes, he wrote a book that exists in the Potter universe, but it's not. This story
is not
being
written. On that book.
This story is not coming from anywhere except just the mind of, I assume,
J.K.
Rowling.
That's an actual point.
The only thing we'll get is some of the beasts probably will be obviously taken. They'll already exist.
Well, but it's not narrative.
They're not exactly.
They mentioned Dumbledore in the story, but he's not going to be in it.
They're making a story with the purpose of having it be a movie.
Yes.
Not writing a book and then turning that story into.
There's no corners to be cut.
Yes.
Plus, this is the way that J.K. said, hey, yes, there is an American school, and this is a way for her to introduce that.
Kyle and I were geeking out on, like, the political subtext of the trailer. You know, a lot of shots of campaign posters and stuff.
It just looks so much
fun. I think it's going to, I mean, we don't know what the story is, but I think it's going to be really resonant with the election and everything.
It takes place in the early 1900s, right?
Well, yeah. But
1920s, I believe.
Some of what we know is that, like, magic is really unaccepted in America, and they have to, like, lay low and, nomadge. That's what, right? That was, like...
But the Americans know it exists, whereas in Britain...
It's just,
the Salem witch trials, like, you know, things in America for magic users were not easy.
Right.
In the early hundreds and some odd years of the country.
Thought of satanic.
This country was started by people escaping religious persecution and Puritans and burning witches at the stake.
Something that trailer, and this goes for Doctor Strange too, but just from like a pure filmmaking standpoint, like the cinematography.
Yes.
The obviously it's like a temp score, but the score just the filmmaking of it really hooked me. Because yes. I like Harry Potter a lot, but I'm like I don't know it inside and out like you guys do.
Yeah.
But I was all in.
Actually, I just
and I
out.
Hate Eddie Redmayne. So like,
but you just look at
he looks so good in this.
Right, that's what I mean. Like,
oh, even, no, as a guy, that got me feels like he's in that universe.
I love the first teaser. What sold me on him was the very first teaser when he opens the trunk and then closes it and just has that smile on his face. Yeah. Like he's just like he could tell it's like a mischief. He feels like he could be a Weasley.
Yes. You know, like oh my god, though that shot when he in the new trailer when he walks into the trunk.
Yes. Oh, that's just fantastic.
So great.
Oh, and then raise the hand. Yeah. Yes. Like, come here.
Like, so good. Like, I just can't fucking wait.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
His brand of acting will be perfect for this movie. Well, yes. That's basically what it amounts to.
Yeah.
He's going to play a transgender cripple?
No.
I didn't realize that's what Newt Scamander...
His theatrical acting.
Scamander.
His very, very...
not a Pokemon.
Scamander, yeah. Oh, and I just... And I, you know, funny that you mentioned that. I know Harry Potter really well. I just actually joined a trivia group with a couple of our friends, Stephanie, Jen, and Sanam, and I... do not know Harry Potter as well as I thought I do. Holy crap, they're destroying me. But anyway, maybe you should get on this, Kyle. You can help me out.
Not Jesus surprised. Christ.
Feminism! All girls Woo! Kicking my ass in Harry Potter. So the last one was Doctor Strange, as you just mentioned right now.
I'm all about right? that shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I am so into Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, I was... Today,
that was a sudden. What a strange turn of events.
Is he not in Doctor Strange?
No. It just sounded like a different transition than like.
I am so like, into Benedict.
I am. I'm a Cumberbatch bitch.
He's dreamy.
He is.
No, I'm a Cumberbatch fan.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Cumberbatch?
That's what they're called. Cumberbatchian?
Cumberbatch.
I'm a Cumberbatch.
I'm a Cumberbatch for sure.
Cumberbatch. I like that.
The end of that sentence was going to be into his work, but then Potter had ended it there. Yes, I'm into the man as well. But they mentioned today that, or Josh mentioned to me today that they're going to redo the Grinch cartoon, which I was like, no. And then he said it was Benedict Cumberbatch, and I was like, maybe. So that's how much I like him, and Doctor Strange is such a crazy character to adapt for mass audiences that. I don't know how people are going to take it, but...
Yeah, to talk about, like, the movie and, like, the trailer itself.
That trailer, though.
That trailer, literally from the first shot, I was like, oh, there's a level of filmmaking here that is...
Who directed this
one? Great. Scott Derrickson, who does, like, these horror movies.
Yeah.
But I feel like Marvel elevates their people, because Joe and Anthony Russo were just, like, writers and directors on Community, Peyton. Which Community is great, but, like, they... You would never think to give them an action franchise. Right. Like... And it is derivative, but, like, that Doctor Strange trailer out-inceptioned and maybe out-Batman Begins those movies.
I mean, it looks beautiful. And, yeah, you're right. It definitely has that Inception feel to it. My only hesitation, and I had the hesitation going into Guardians of the Galaxy. So Marvel tends to... not fuck things up. It's just, it's getting to a point where it's starting, where like magic is being introduced into.
Right. Well, that's the big hook is they're going to have to explain what it all is somehow.
Well, the cool thing is.
Or at least just make it fit with everything.
Right.
Sure, you know, it's, and it's not, that's not my only, I mean, that, I guess that really is probably my big hesitation. It's just, I don't know what this is. I don't know Doctor Strange. I don't know that story. Like Guardians of the Galaxy, this isn't a thing I have any previous experience with.
Well,
that being said, I will absolutely go see it because it's a Marvel movie.
Right.
Yeah.
And they'll probably make it work wonderfully.
Here's what I mean, along those same lines, and I'm not worried either, but I'm kind of curious to see how they do this because knowing Doctor Strange a little bit, and I never read it that much growing up, but I knew enough to know that his power comes from demons, essentially. Demons and making deals with him, and then amulets and things like that. So it's pretty dark, which is partially why, or probably a lot of the reason why they hired Scott Derrickson, because he's used to that kind of subject matter. But how do you make that marketable for your built-in audience? Because you're going to have kids that are going to go see this movie.
You, instead of having him get his powers from demons, he gets from trippy Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, or
who's secretly an alien.
My thought is this.
Right.
You know, and then it's just, you know, techno. I mean, it's what is it? Who said it? Was it Carl Sagan who said, any sufficiently advanced technology looks like magic.
It's indestructible from magic.
Yeah. Well, something, and that's like that's what Asgard has, is all their technology is magic, quote-unquote, but it's advanced technology.
Where I come from, it's one and the same.
Yeah. My thought is this, because in Thor, it's mentioned that there are however many realms, 9 realms, 10 realms, whatever it is. One of those realms is a hell-like realm, even to to the Asgard.
It is called, it's called hell, too. It's spelled H-E-L.
Yeah, so maybe if they want to introduce Doctor Strange and have it kind of fit within it, maybe that's where his power comes from.
I think the answer is going to be much more real world scientific, which is that if you ask scientists, like the predominant theory is string theory, and for string theory to actually work, there has to be a minimum of 23 dimensions. So, and we perceive 3. So if that's all true,
his strings vibrate at a different frequency.
Yeah. If that's all true, blah, then blah, blah. He's met Tilda Swinton. Yeah. Tilda Swinton is like, look, there's scientists that build these devices to try and study this, but the truth is we've always known how to perceive these other things, and I'm going to teach you how. And that's just his ability, is he can tap into those things.
Right. When you dream, you tap into it.
Yeah, it's
you
all
have
just
to learn to dream while you're awake.
But I mean, like, it's
right? There you go. Trademark that.
Right, but that's, like,
write it down.
It's a cool power, and it's a real power. I mean, like, if you talk to people, like, when they tell ghost stories, they will tell you things like, well, I'm not a religious person, but I believe there has to be something else there.
Well, I'll say,
and that's what he is the something
else. I'll say this. You mentioned the dimensions, and that makes sense, because they're actually dipping into the mysticism with Doctor Strange, as well as Iron Fist, who also is has mystical powers as well. And they teased it a little bit in Daredevil. Iron Fist is a TV show. It's going to be on Netflix. It's going to be the 4th series after Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and then Iron Fist, and then they're all form the Defenders. So they're slowly introducing this mysticism. They kind of did a little bit with Thor, but and you're right. It's going to be something real world explanation. But what is the woman saying, Daredevil? The tease that they give Daredevil when she says, "I'm going home," and the guy goes, "Where? Back to China?" She goes, "I'm from somewhere much farther than that."
Yeah.
Somewhere. So I think, what's her name? Madame Wu.
Australia. She's from Australia. Yeah, she's from Australia.
So they've already hinted that, and I think her character is in the comic books, or someone similar to her.
Madame Gao.
There it is. Or I think they're saying she's going to be somebody that we know that's from another dimension.
Well, in that way, like, the Doctor Strange makes Infinity War more possible, because you can't introduce Thanos via Ant-Man. You have to have Ant-Man go, "What the fuck is that?" And have Doctor Strange go, "Well, I'll show you, Scott Lang." Like,
yeah.
Anywho.
Let's wrap it up. I don't think we're going to get... Do you want to make us an extra long pod today? Just a 10-minute long extra
to get to
the recast, the reboot?
Yeah, let's just do it.
All right, let's do it. So
otherwise, it's just going to take us forever to do it.
It is. Yeah. So what we do with this recast, the reboot, is one of us... Shout sets a movie. I started with The Godfather that should absolutely never, ever, 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 ever be remade. And it's up to one of the other guys to cast it, get a writer and director, and try to convince us at least to buy a ticket. Whether or not to accept it or not is another thing. But
the best way to do a terrible thing.
Exactly. Yep. So right now, the movie that should never, ever, 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 ever be remade was brought up by Josh Potter, and it was Shawshank Redemption. Kyle has taken up that challenge. Kyle, wow us with your writer and director.
Yes. All right. So the original was Frank Darabont, of course.
I hope you're just going to say you. I'm just going to be like, I write it, I direct it.
No.
Yeah. Yes. I'm in.
Writer, cool. I literally wrote on here, who cares?
Okay.
But the Coens will do the rewrite.
Okay. I'm in. Okay.
The director.
A la Bridge of Spies. Yeah.
Lenny Abramson.
Wait,
who did Room.
Me. Okay.
He's really good at making a small space feel both confining, but also like it's the entire world.
Sure.
This is where shit starts to get interesting.
Cast is hard.
Cast is hard. I'm going to start with...
Especially since all these men can do this, still do
yes,
now.
That's the whole part. Everybody here is still alive.
Yep.
So I'm going to go with some of the smaller roles first and work my way up to Andy and Red.
I like that idea.
So I'm going to start with Brooks.
Okay.
You know, Brooks was here.
The old man who hangs himself?
Yep.
Yeah, some of these I just sort of went with the first person that totally made sense to me. Ian Holm.
Yeah,
I like that.
As sort of the doddering old man. Right. Sort of, you know,
I like Ian Holm a lot.
So, Tommy. This is the kid who comes in and delivers the information about the guy who actually killed
Andy's
wife. You know, the sort of young, like, and that when he's sort of like a 50s, like, I think he's kind of a greaser kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
So in this, so for this, I sort of made him a little more of like a grunge kind of thing. And Frank Delane.
Remind me.
Now, he's not, some of these are like smaller TV people.
Right.
Yeah.
Frank Delane is, he's the sort of the older kid on Fear the Walking Dead. Okay. The one who sort of wakes up in the church after.
Okay, I haven't seen it, but that's,
he's got like long hair, he's a very, like, very pretty boy, but in that, he's like, got, he's fucking troubled as shit.
Okay.
So Captain Hadley, the guy who sort of is the guard, he was, he was Clancy Brown in the original one. I had no idea what to do with this one, so I just went with Stephen Michael Cazada, who was Gomez on Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just go a little different way. I wanted somebody who wasn't just going to be a white guy, considering some of the rest of my cast here. So Haywood. Haywood was in the original played by Bill Sadler.
Yeah.
He's sort of the other guard, or not the other guard, I'm sorry, the other, one of the other prisoners who sort of likes Andy and sort of gets along with him. Remember John Piper Ferguson?
Okay, I don't know who that is.
Who, do you know who he is? He's on, a lot, like I said, a lot of these are TV people. Yeah. He's on The Last Ship. He's sort of the, like, he's got, in that, he's got the beard and, like, longer hair. He's sort of like the special forces kind of guy who's not in the military. I don't know, some of these don't matter. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The Warden.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the original one, he was played by Bob Gunton. He was great.
Yes.
Michael Shannon.
I'm in.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Totally.
Now.
So far, your best ones is Ian Holmes, because I don't know any of those other fuckers.
That's okay. I mean, none of those are huge. None of those are huge roles, so I sort of went with some smaller TV people for those. So Michael Shannon is the Warden. Now, Andy. This is probably the biggest departure. I went with Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Ooh, I like that.
So you're gonna reverse? You're gonna reverse the roles? Reverse the
not necessarily. Kind of.
I don't know. We'll see. Now
he is.
I don't know because I feel like he can have that.
Not necessarily reverse,
but at
least
he's got that.
He's
got that quiet dignity, and you don't really want to even try to have somebody who's gonna do exactly what Tim Robbins did and try to find the Tim Robbins now, but
he has an earnest honesty that you just root for.
Yeah, I mean, especially in something like 12 Years a Slave, where you see him, you know, sort of.
Yeah, I don't need Andy to be a white
guy. Now, Red's the fucking hardest one.
Yeah, he has to narrate the whole thing, too.
Right. So you need somebody with a good voice, but somebody who's also going to be able to.
Why don't you go first?
I have five people written here.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I wonder if we have one overlap. I just thought of Bill Murray.
Oh my god. I did not think of that. That's really interesting.
That is interesting.
Because he's old.
Yeah.
And because he's Bill fucking Murray.
Yeah. No, that's,
and he would narrate the shit out of
it. He would. Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could take that one if
you want. I am. I'm taking Bill
Murray.
All right. What was your top,
My other five were Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
James Cromwell.
Ooh. Yeah. All right.
Max von Sinbad.
Max von Sinbad.
Edward James Olmos.
Yeah. I could see that one, too.
And Giancarlo Esposito.
Okay.
Who was Gus on Breaking Bad.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I think in the future we shouldn't have to pick top fives, but...
No, that's the problem.
He could have narrowed it down.
I just
take Bill Murray.
I just have no idea.
Just keep Bill
Murray.
Like,
it's just such a hard, like...
All right, well, you know who has to be the judge of this?
You know.
Potter.
That's true. Potter, what do you think?
We're going to put Bill Murray...
I'm going to go with Bill Murray. I mean, I'm going to take... No, I'm not going to take Bill Murray, because that's cheating. I'm going to choose one of these people, and I'm going to say James Cromwell.
I have one more question before you officially submit it. Who's on the poster instead of Rita Hayworth?
Oh shit!
That's basically, we're modernizing this, right? We're not putting sitting in the
50s. Yeah, I mean, not it's not 2016. It's probably like 80s. Like
well, then 80s. I guess it could just be like his wife's MySpace page.
No, no, I think this is like a late 80s or 90s. No, that's a great question. I had not thought about it.
I just thought
maybe Bo Derek or who was the 80s? Cindy Crawford.
Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett. Bo Derek.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Potter, what do you think? Did he sell you enough to go buy a ticket at least?
I would buy a ticket and see it, and yeah. I would probably enjoy it just based on those names.
I think based on the director.
Oh well, yeah.
And the director and the Coen's doing a rewrite.
Yeah,
that was such a cheat.
And I can't. I've never been able to say his name, but Chewy Edgewater. I would love
Chewy Edgewater.
I would love seeing him.
Chewy Edgewater.
I would love seeing him in that role.
Yeah,
that's good.
That was the moment. Well, Michael Shannon as the warden was first.
Yeah. Yes,
like him. Yes.
Yeah.
And then once I got Chewy Edgewater, I'm like, okay, maybe this could work.
All right.
So what's your challenge?
So what's your challenge, and you're throwing it down to Josh Moorhead, as we discussed earlier.
Yeah,
today.
I think I'm going to throw it to Josh Moorhead.
All right.
Josh, yes. I've been struggling between choosing one of these two movies.
Oh, man.
I'm
so nervous.
And I think, and I'll get you a list of exactly who.
And we're going to do this again, so you can use your other choice.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And I'll get you a list, like, tomorrow of who you need to, like, choose.
Okay, yeah. I like that.
For this particular one, I'm going to go with Airplane.
Wow. Ooh. A movie very much of its time.
Yes.
Yeah. But something you can definitely update now, especially with all the security bullshit that we go
can
through.
I just hand you back a DVD copy of Soul Plane? And we'll just be done here?
You can, but no.
Yeah. No, that's a good one.
All right, Josh Moorhead. So you got your challenge. It's going to be, you're going to recast the reboot, and we'll see when we get to
Kobe
that.
Kobe can't take Dr. J's role.
No, but Shaq can.
Shaq totally can.
All right, yeah, excited for this.
Shaq could absolutely. It's not there, Dr. J. We're not going to help you.
Kareem.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man. Sorry.
Kareem.
Bad.
Respect.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's going to do it for this week. You got an extra long Way We Nerd today, and we had a lot of fun. I didn't think we were going to have enough stuff to talk about, and turns out we had too much because I even left a couple things out.
It's just how we do with the Nerd HQ.
We'll see you next time, but this time I'm going to whip it around. I am Daniel Villalobos. To my left,
Kyle Bowne.
Across from him,
Joshua Potter.
Yeah. Josh
Moorhead.
All right. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Thanks for listening. If you want more from the nerds, check us out on the intertubes at thewaywenerd.com. And if you haven't already, you should follow us on Facebook and Twitter at thewaywenerd and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, this is the way we nerd.